नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 14 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड ब्रह्मास प्रेयर्स टू लॉर्ड कृष्णा टेक्स्ट नंबर 4। श्रेयश्रुतिं भक्तिमुदस्यते विभो क्लिश्यन्ति ये केवलबोधलब्धये तेषां असौ क्लेशलये वशिष्यते नान्यत् यता स्थूलतुषावगातिनां। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। माय डियर लॉर्ड, डिवोशनल सर्विस अंटू यू इज द बेस्ट पाथ फॉर सेल्फ रियलाइजेशन। इफ समवन गिव्स अप दैट पाथ and engages in the cultivation of speculative knowledge, he will simply undergo a troublesome process and will not achieve his desired result. As a person who beats an empty husk of wheat cannot get grain, one who simply speculates cannot achieve self-realization. His only gain is trouble. Purport. Loving service to the Supreme Person is the natural and eternal function of every living entity. If a person renounces his own constitutional function and instead laboriously seeks so-called enlightenment through impersonal speculative knowledge, his result is simply the trouble and bother that come from following an artificial process. A fool may beat an empty husk, not knowing that the grain has already been removed. Similarly, foolish is the person who throws his mind again and again into the pursuit of knowledge without surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is the very substance and goal of knowledge. Just as grain is the substance and goal of the entire agricultural effort, Vedic knowledge, or indeed material science, without the personality of Godhead, is exactly like an empty and useless husk of wheat. One may argue that by practicing yoga or cultivating impersonal knowledge, one can acquire prestige, wealth, mystic powers, or even impersonal liberation. But these so-called gains are actually useless because they do not situate the living being in his constitutional position of loving service to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, such results, being superfluous to the living being's essential nature, are impermanent. As stated in the Narasimha Puran, पत्रेषु पुष्पेषु फलेषु तोयेषु अक्रीतलभ्येषु वदैव सत्सु भक्त्या सुलभ्ये पुरुषे पुराणे मुक्त्यै किम् अर्थं क्रियते प्रयत्न। सिंस द प्राइमेबल पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड इज ईजिली अटेंड बाय ऑफरिंग हिम सच थिंग्स एज लीव्स फ्लावर्स फ्रूट्स एंड वाटर विच आर ऑल फाउंड विदाउट डिफिकल्टी, why does one need to endeavor for liberation separately? Although the process of devotional service to Lord Krishna is very simple, it is extremely difficult for stubborn conditioned souls to completely humble themselves before the Supreme Personality of Godhead and absorb themselves 24 hours a day in His loving service. The mood of loving service is anathema to belligerent conditioned souls determined to defy God and enjoy. When such stubborn conditioned souls attempt to bypass surrendering to God through proud attempts at philosophical speculation, austerity and yoga, they are turned back to the material platform by the powerful laws of God and violently merged into the heaving ocean of insignificance called the material world. Reading from the 10th canto, chapter 14, entitled Brahma's Prayers for Lord Krishna. For the past several weeks, different devotees had been, they have been speaking on this Brahma Vimohan Leela, or Brahma being bewildered by the Lord Krishna's mystic potencies. So now, after Lord Brahma comes to his senses, after he actually realizes the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he's completely embarrassed and he's completely humbled. So in the humble state of mind, Lord Brahma is offering these wonderful prayers. These are one of the famous prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So before I attempt to speak on this particular verse, I would like to speak the situation in which like these purports are written by Srila Prabhupada. Of course, according to some, like Srila Prabhupada has written purports till the 13th chapter, but I was just going through Tamal Krishna Maharaj's diary. I think Srila Prabhupada wrote some of the first few verses, wrote purports for the first few verses of the 14th chapter. But anyway, I basically wanted to speak that how usually when a person is in a condition in which a person is going through a lot of physical problems, physical pain, it is very difficult to keep a proper state of mind. It is very difficult to have proper thoughts in the mind. Usually mind gets affected by the bodily problems or by the insults or the failures which a person faces in his life. Because of that, a person's actually mind gets affected. But we see that Srila Prabhupada has written this purports in his in the condition like when he was actually about to die. Like recently I was going through this, I was reading 6th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. The 6th canto, there is a section in which we see the battle between the demigods and Vritrasur. In that particular section, when Vritrasur attacked the demigods, the demigods were severely injured, and then the demigods, they actually take shelter of Lord Vishnu. And then Lord Vishnu tells the demigods to go to Dadichi Muni and ask Dadichi Muni for his bones. And Lord Vishnu tells them to make a thunderbolt out of the bones of Dadichi Muni. So then the demigods, they follow the order of Lord Vishnu, and then they go to Dadichi Muni, and then they make this thunderbolt from the bones of Dadichi Muni. So then, having got this thunderbolt, the demigods, they again attack Vritrasur, who was heading all the demons. So it is described that when Indra was attacking the demons, previously the demigods were actually thoroughly defeated by the demons, but this time the demons could not tolerate just the effulgence emanating from the body of Indra. So because Indra was actually equipped with this thunderbolt, which is actually invested with the power of Lord Vishnu, because Dadichi Muni, he attained his body because of actually chanting the Narayana Kavacha mantra, which consists of the holy names of the Supreme Lord Narayan. So his body was very strong. So the thunderbolt was made out of the weapons, made out of the bones of Dadichi Muni. So that thunderbolt contained the power of Lord Narayan. So because at this point, because the demigods were actually equipped with the power of Lord Narayan, the demons could not even tolerate the effulgence emanating from the demigods. So then demons actually attacked the demigods. It is described that the demons, they started throwing, they started like releasing so many arrows that just like the stars in the sky cannot be seen when covered by a dense cloud, the demigods were completely covered by the network of arrows released by the demons. So they were like completely covered by the arrows released by the demons. So then the demigods, they actually counterattack. And then they shower so many arrows that they actually break all the arrows released by the demons into thousands of pieces. And in fact, the demons, they actually used so much of power against the demigods, but the demigods were, they were not even slightly injured. When you put so much of effort to attack an enemy, and when you see that the enemy is not even slightly injured, then one will be greatly surprised. So it is described that even before they actually began the battle with great force, they were like completely demoralized because they actually threw so many arrows at the demigods. The demigods completely, they were not even slightly injured. They actually broke all the arrows into thousands of pieces. So we see that when somebody is protected by Krishna, then even with great effort, even when the enemy attacks with great effort, one cannot injure that person even slightly. On the other hand, when a person does not have the protection of the Supreme Lord, and even with a small effort, one can be actually, one can be made to fall down, or one can be defeated very easily. Because the demigods at this point, they were protected by the power of Lord Narayan. They were not even slightly injured, although the demons actually, they put so much of effort to actually attack the demigods. On the other hand, we see examples like Shaubari Muni. Because of offending Garuda, he lost the protection of the Supreme Lord. Because he lost the protection of the Supreme Lord, even a small agitation caused by the fishes, that was sufficient to make Shaubari Muni fall down. So then the demigods, at this point, when the demigods were like fighting, the demons were like completely demoralized. The demons, they became so fearful, and they start fleeing from the battlefield. So we see that the real loyalty of the followers is actually tested at the time of adversity. The demons, they actually become so fearful because the demons, they had more faith in their power. When a person has more faith in one's own power, then when a person faces some reversal, then one gets completely demoralized, one becomes depressed. On the other hand, when a person has faith in the Supreme Lord, even when he faces so many reversals in his life, he will actually continue to fight. So the demons, when they faced this defeat, they became fearful and they started fleeing the battlefield. So at that time, Vritrasur, who is the actually commander-in-chief of the demons, he actually starts speaking to the demons. It is described that Kalopapannam ruchiram manasvinam jagadavacham purushapravira he viprachitte namuche puloman mayana maya narvan chambarame shunudvam. So at this time, Vritrasur spoke words according to time, place and circumstances. And Vritrasur is called as a great-minded hero. And the words spoken by Vritrasur were appreciated by thoughtful men. We see that, it is said that human mind stops working till the time a person actually goes to give a public speech. It is said that human mind works right from the birth till that time a person actually goes to give a public speech. And what is, because when a person is faced with so much of audience, naturally many times we feel nervous. And what to speak of when a person has to give a spontaneous speech, then how much more nervous one will be. And what to speak of when a person has to give a spontaneous speech and when he sees that the audience is actually going away from the hall, then how much more nervous one will be. And what to speak of giving a spontaneous speech to the audience who is not eager and speaking something sensible and which is to be appreciated by the thoughtful man. That is something like impossible actually. Because usually when the audience is actually going away, here Vritrasura is giving a spontaneous speech, and he is giving a spontaneous speech in the battlefield. It is not some peaceful place. He is giving a spontaneous speech in the battlefield, and his own men were actually fleeing from the battlefield. Usually when Maya attacks from outside, definitely people get demoralized. But more than that, when Maya attacks from inside, that means like when we see our own men leaving the process of devotional service, when they actually leave the process of Krishna consciousness, then a person's faith gets shaken even more than when Maya actually attacks from outside. So here we see like Vritrasura's own men, in fact great heroes like Namuchi, Puloma, even such people, they were actually fleeing from the battlefield. And so his own audience and his own men were actually fleeing from the battlefield. At that time he had to give a spontaneous speech, and he is giving a spontaneous speech, and that is actually appreciated by thoughtful men. So you can see, we can see the actually character, we can see the character of Vritrasura. We can see the like when a person is superficial in one's nature, he can't actually speak in such circumstances something sensible and which will be appreciated by thoughtful men. So only when a person has deep character, only when a person is having depth in his practice of spiritual life, a person can speak something in such circumstances which can be actually appreciated by thoughtful men. So usually for a sadhaka, like our what we speak is actually like the kind of thoughts, in order for us to have like good thoughts in our mind, it is very much dependent on so many factors. Like it's very much dependent on whether you have got good sleep, whether it's dependent on whether you have like got good prasad, whether like how people dealt with us. So it is like for a sadhaka, like for us, that in order to have good thoughts, it's very much dependent on so many support systems. But for a pure devotee, for a person who is advanced in spiritual consciousness, for him actually to have Krishna conscious thoughts, it is actually not at all dependent on any support systems. Just like in the case of Vritrasura, he is speaking words which are appreciated by thoughtful men in such circumstances. So similarly, we see Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is actually writing this purports in his deathbed, where he is going through severe physical problems, and he is actually writing such clear philosophy. So here he is actually going through physical problem. And we see when Prabhupada was writing first canto purports, so there at that time Prabhupada did not have many followers. So there Prabhupada was faced with so many failures after failures in trying to preach in India. And we see both in the first canto purports and in the 10th canto, in this purports, we see that Prabhupada's deep character and his depth in Krishna consciousness is actually reflected in this purports. So let's say we see that Srila Prabhupada's books are actually very special. I was just sharing that like nowadays we have like so many books by so many commentaries written by the previous acharyas, the Srimad Bhagavatam and the different scriptures are coming. But I was just trying to share that in the fourth canto, when Prithu Maharaj got the association of the four Kumaras, it is described that four Kumaras, they gave instruction to the four Prithu Maharaj, and then they actually disappeared from the vision of Prithu Maharaj. So that Prabhupada writes in the purport that the four Kumaras, they are actually such exalted personalities that they cannot be visible to common people. Unless a person has lot of piety, spiritual piety, one cannot have the fortune of getting the darshan of such great personalities like the four Kumaras. But it is described that even the common citizens of the kingdom of Prithu Maharaj, they were also able to witness the four Kumaras, and they were also able to hear the instructions which the four Kumaras gave to Prithu Maharaj. So the common citizen, they didn't have the qualification. But then how is it that they got this fortune of actually getting to hear from the four Kumaras? So Prabhupada writes in the purport that the common citizens, their only qualification was that they were actually connected with Prithu Maharaj. Actually, the four Kumaras, they came to give their association to the Prithu Maharaj, who is a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. But because the common citizens, they were connected with Prithu Maharaj, even they also got this fortune of hearing from the four Kumaras. So similarly, we see, like, we are like the common citizens. And the four Kumaras are like the previous acharyas, like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, and Prithu Maharaj is like Srila Prabhupada. Like, we don't have any capacity or we don't have any qualification to understand the purports of the previous acharyas. But our only qualification to understand the purports of the previous acharyas is the nourishment which you received from reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Just like the citizens were not qualified to get the darshan of the four Kumaras, but their only qualification to get the association of the four Kumaras is that they were actually related with Prithu Maharaj. So that is why we should never forget that, although so many books are coming, that we should never forget the nourishment which we received by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. I was trying to share another point that thinking on the day of Prabhupada's disappearance day. Actually, Prabhupada's books are so special. The 11th canto, 2nd chapter, Vasudev tells Narada Muni, when Narada Muni arrives at the palace of Vasudev, Vasudev tells that you are arriving here. Like great sages like you, when they arrive at a particular place, actually such people, they awaken the sleeping conditioned souls who are actually sleeping in the lap of Maya. And also sages like you, they give great pleasure, they also enlighten those people who are already situated on the spiritual path. So Vasudeva is telling Narada Muni that pure devotees, they actually not only awaken the sleeping conditioned souls, but they also enlighten those who are already fixed upon the path of Krishna consciousness. Like in the Mayapur Yatra, Sulnas Radhana Swami Maharaj mentioned this point. He said that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his childhood pastimes, by his childhood pastimes, he was awakening the love of the Navadvipa. He was awakening the dormant love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead in those people who didn't have that love. At the same time, he was also deepening the love of the devotees or the eternal associates who are present in Navadvipam. So he was awakening the love in those people who didn't have the love, and at the same time he was deepening the intimacy of the relationship of the eternal associates in Navadvipasis. So similarly, we see Srila Prabhupada's books are such that they actually not only awaken, they not only remove the ignorance of the sleeping conditioned souls, but they also enlighten those people who are already fixed up in the path of Krishna consciousness. So that is why, that is the speciality, because sometimes people think that, oh, Prabhupada's books are meant for the beginning days. So now so many years have passed, so now I have to read other books. So now it's not needed. But actually the fact is that even those people who are advanced in the path of Krishna consciousness, they will also take pleasure. If somebody is not taking pleasure, even after spending so many years in Srila Prabhupada, that means like that means like one has not made sufficient advancement. So coming to this episode of Lord Brahma, we see that Lord Brahma so here Lord Brahma he actually tried to use his mystic power to test actually Lord Krishna. He actually stole the calves and the cowherd boys, and he was actually completely humbled. If we see the character of, if we try to examine the character of Lord Brahma with Haridas Thakur, if we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, when Haridas Thakur and all the devotees were actually meeting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inquiring about Haridas Thakur, where is Haridas Thakur? So Haridas Thakur was offering obeisances at a great distance. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the devotees to call Haridas Thakur, but the devotees went and called Haridas Thakur, and they said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to meet you. But Haridas Thakur said, actually I don't have the authority to come near Jagannath temple. So if we see here, Lord Brahma, he thought that he had the authority to enter Vrindavan, and he thought that he had the authority to steal the calves and the cowherd boys. But when Lord Brahma realized the greatness of the Supreme Lord, as Haridas Thakur is thinking that, I don't have the authority to come near Jagannath temple, which is the abode of the Supreme Lord. I don't have the authority to enter Vrindavan. And Lord Brahma, he thought that Lord Brahma used his mystic power to steal the cows and the cowherd boys. And Haridas Thakur also had the power. In fact, as Haridas Thakur, Lord Brahma had more power than the mystic power which he possessed. What was the power which Haridas Thakur possessed? Haridas Thakur had the connection with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would call Haridas Thakur as, he would call Haridas as Haridas Thakur. It is described that, Prabhupada writes in the purport that the word Goswami, the title Goswami, is given to the spiritual master. And when a person is even more advanced, then the title Thakur is offered to such a person. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offering that title to Haridas Thakur, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was calling Haridas Thakur, you please come here. But Haridas Thakur, although he had that power in the form of being the favorite devotee of Haridas Thakur, he did not exercise that power in coming near the Jagannath temple. So basically, when a person actually understands the realizes the greatness of the Supreme Lord, and when a person realizes one's own insignificance, then a person actually becomes truly humble. So we see that Haridas Thakur is actually completely humble in the Chaitanya Leela. And we see that another point is, that's why Rupa Goswami mentions in the Bhakti Rasamal Sindhu, he mentions that one of the quality of a person who is having love for the Supreme Lord, or one of the quality of a person who is on the stage of Bhava, is that Asha Bandha. Asha Bandha means hope against hope. So it is very interesting, in Asha Bandha, a person feels hopeless, at the same time he is also hopeful. How can somebody be hopeless at the same time be having hope? So it is described that hope against hope means a person feels that realizes its one's own insignificance, and because of that a person actually feels hopeless to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. But at the same time, he actually understands the nature of the Supreme Lord. So because of self-realization, a person understands one's own insignificance, and because of that, a person thinks that, how can I actually achieve anything in my life? What to speak of achieving the rarest thing, Krishna Prema, without the mercy of the Supreme Lord? So because of that, a person feels hopeless. But at the same time, because of self-realization, a person understands the omnipotence of the Supreme Lord, and a person understands the affectionate nature of the Supreme Lord towards the devotee, towards all living entities. So because of understanding the omnipotence and the affectionate nature of the Supreme Lord with all the living entities, he feels hope. So that is why a person feels hopeless and also he is hopeful. So that is why self-realization means understanding the greatness of the Supreme Lord and realizing one's own insignificance. So usually, sometimes we feel hopeless and we feel, I'm so fallen, if a person goes into depression. But that is not self-realization, because one is not conscious of the omnipotence and the affectionate and the all-loving nature of the Supreme Lord. Because of that, a person feels only hopeless. And the Sahajiyas, they feel that as if they have got Supreme Lord. They are connected to the Supreme Lord. They feel hopeful to enter the passions of the Supreme Lord. So that is also another extreme. That is also not the symptom of a person who is having love. But the symptom of a person who is actually on the right path is that a person feels hopeless, at the same time a person is hopeful. So that is the result of realizing the insignificance and the greatness of the Supreme Lord. And coming to this particular verse, that in this particular verse, Lord Brahma is actually glorifying the path of bhakti. He says that, my dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the best path for self-realization. If someone gives up that path and engages in the cultivation of speculative knowledge, he'll simply undergo a troublesome process and will not achieve his desired result. As a person who beats an empty husk of wheat cannot get grain, one who simply speculates cannot achieve self-realization. His only gain is trouble. So it is a Shreyas Shrutim. Shreyas Shrutim. Sridhar Swami comments on this particular verse, and he says that devotional service is the path of supreme benefit. It is the path of supreme benefit because devotional service gives the benefit of all the other paths, and it also gives much more than that. You see that, like, this is a constant theme in many times in the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. Like, in the very first purport of the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes that in Bhagavad Gita you will find what you find in all the other scriptures in all the religions, and you will also find what is not to be found elsewhere. So similarly here, in devotional service, you will get the benefit of all the other paths and you will also get much more. Like recently we went to Navadvip Dham Parikrama. So there also, like Navadvip Dham, you will find all the holy places which are to be found all over the world. You will find Naimisharanya, Vrindavan Dham, you will find Varanasi, all the holy places, and you will also find much more than that. Similarly, like even in the Madhuri Ras, you will find the mellow of that conjugal love, and you will also find all the other rasas. So the same principle here, bhakti, the path of bhakti gives the benefit which a person gets from all the other paths, and you will also get much more than that. So that's what the word Shreya Shritim, there's the path of supreme benefit. And there are actually many there are many points when you compare bhakti with other paths. Like it's mentioned that when a person follows the other paths, like karma yoga or jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga, when the person follows the path of just a philosophical speculation or the ashtanga yoga without surrendering to the supreme lord, it is compared to the attempt of it is like a beating an empty husk of grain. When you beat an empty husk of grain, what you will gain is only trouble. You endeavor so much, and at the end you won't get anything. So similarly, when a person follows the other processes without surrendering to the Supreme Lord, then one only undergoes so much of trouble and will not get the desired result. Because Krishna all the results are given only by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And Krishna only answers to devotion. Only when a person practices some devotion, then Krishna actually reciprocates. Like, I gave this example previously. It's like, just like, in a for a materialist, when a person goes for a movie, a materialist, even if the movie contains best of stories or the best of cinematography or best of dialogue, best of everything, but if the romantic element is not present, he will feel, oh, this movie is useless. He feels as if that he has not seen the movie. Oh, there is no use. He feels that I have wasted the money. On the other hand, if the romantic element is present, even if the other elements are not present, even if the other elements are not proper, he feels that, okay, it's worthwhile. Because that's what the materialist is looking for. But I'm sorry for the example, but we can relate. So similarly, for Krishna actually, Krishna is basically looking for the path of devotion. Krishna is basically looking for bhakti yoga. So if a person is practicing other paths along with bhakti yoga, then Krishna will give you the result. So one may practice so much of austerities, one may do so much of philosophical speculation, etc. But if the devotional element is not present, even though the other elements are proper, then there will not be any result. On the other hand, even if the other elements are not proper, if a person is not good in tapasya, if a person is a literate person, etc. But if he is having a sincere devotion, then Krishna will reciprocate. So that is the nature of Krishna. So Lord Brahma is basically saying, when a person practices other processes without surrendering to the Supreme Lord, one only gains trouble. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, Klesho Adhikatara Stesham Avyakta Sakta Chetasam. So if you see Bhakti Yoga, when a person practices Bhakti Yoga gives the highest satisfaction. The other paths, it's like Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. Suppose your relative is there abroad. So you want to connect to your relative. So there are four ways to connect to your relative. One is by writing a letter. Another is by maybe writing some email. Another is by making phone call. And another is actually buying a plane ticket and going to the person and actually meeting that person. So when you, out of these four ways, a person will get complete satisfaction when a person actually goes and meets the relative. So similarly, Bhakti Yoga is like that. Actually buying a plane ticket and actually going and meeting that person. That means when a person practices Bhakti Yoga, one will actually get the complete satisfaction. And when a person practices other yoga, other processes, then one will not get complete satisfaction. And Krishna, actually the classic verse in which Krishna compares Bhakti Yoga with the other processes is that 9th chapter, 2nd verse, in which Krishna says, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksha Avagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Avyayam. So Krishna says, Raja Vidya Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam. This path of devotional service is the king among all the not. Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam, it has actually got two meanings. One meaning is that it is the king among all the knowledge and it is the king among all the secrets. I think Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions the point. He says that bhakti of any type is a secret and kevala bhakti is the king of all secrets. Bhakti of any type is considered to be a secret. That means like bhakti in the mode of passion or ignorance or goodness. Bhakti of any type, karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti. Bhakti of any type is considered a secret. And kevala bhakti or pure devotional service is considered to be the topmost, king of all secrets. And another meaning of the word Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam is that, and this knowledge belongs to persons like kings, or it is meant for kings. As I Prabhupada tells in one lecture, actually this Bhagavad Gita is meant for kings. Recently going through was quoting this point. Bhagavad Gita is actually meant for kings. So Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam, one meaning is that it is a king among all the knowledge and it is the king among all the secrets. Another meaning is that this path of devotional service meant for meant for kings, or it is meant for people like kings who are generous and compassionate in nature. So this is the this is one of the characteristics of the process of devotional service. And the second point which Krishna says is Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. Pavitram Idam Uttamam means it is actually the purest. Pavitram Idam, it is the purest in the sense that it destroys all the karmas. The other processes, they do not actually completely destroy the karmas. In the sixth canto, Shukadeva Goswami is telling to Parikshit Maharaj, Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana Agam Dunvanti Katsyena Niharam Iva Bhaskaraha. He says, only a rare person who is completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord, who is practicing pure devotional service, he completely destroys all the karmas. Just like a fog is destroyed simply by the first rays of the sun. So kechit means the person who is practicing devotional service is very rare. And kevalaya bhaktya means pure devotional service. Actually bhakti means pure devotional service, but many times the acharya, they use like kevala bhakti or uttama bhakti, because as time progressed, the term bhakti got corrupted. Just like ghee means like pure cow ghee, pure hand churned cow ghee, something like that. But because as time progressed, we have to be explicit. It is a cow ghee. It is a hand churned cow ghee, like that. We have to be explicit. So similarly, bhakti means pure bhakti, but many times acharya use the word kevala bhakti or uttama bhakti. So On the other hand, the other processes, when a person practices the other process, they do not completely destroy the sins. In fact, Shukadeva Goswami, he tells this when he actually recommends the path of Jnana to Parikshit Maharaj. He says, tapasa brahmacharyena shamena cha damena cha tyagena satya shauchabhyam yamena niyamena va deha vag buddhi jam dhira dharmagya shraddhayanvita. He mentions the path of Jnana, austerity, practicing celibacy, and being truthful and giving charity, etc. And these processes, they destroy the great sins which a person has committed, just like fire destroys the bamboos. Fire destroys the clump of bamboos. So there Prabhupada writes in the purport, Prabhupada says that when the fire destroys the clump, fire only destroys the dried leaves of the bamboos, but the roots roots remain intact. So when the other processes, they may destroy the sinful reaction, but they don't destroy the sinful desires, or they don't destroy the ignorance within, which is there within. And Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksha Avagamam. Pratyaksha Avagamam means one can directly perceive the Supreme Lord. So when a person practices the path of karma, one can only realize Atma. And when a person practices the path of Jnana or Yoga, one can realize Atma and Paramatma. But one cannot actually realize Bhagavan. But only by practicing Bhakti, one can actually realize Bhagavan. That's why it is mentioned that Bhakti Pareshanu Bhavo Viraktir Anyatra Cha. So it said that just like when a person is hungry, when a person eats food, with every morsel of food, hunger, a person experiences freedom from hunger, he experiences satisfaction, and he experiences nourishment. So similarly, by surrendering to the Supreme Lord, a person will get devotion, and a person will directly perceive the Supreme Lord, para isha anubhava, and a person will actually experience indifference, virakti, or renunciation. So Jiva Goswami mentions in the purport, one may say that when a person is hungry, when a person starts eating, so these three things happen. When a person is hungry, then when a person starts eating, he becomes detached from everything else when he is eating. So there may be some TV may be going on, one may be, somebody may be fanning or other things. But then he becomes detached from everything else. And after some time, he becomes detached from eating also. Because once the stomach is full, a person becomes detached from eating also. So similarly, one may say, when a person practices devotional service, so initially, one will experience detachment from other things. And then after some time, one will experience detachment from the path of bhakti itself. So one may argue like that. But Jiva Goswami mentions, but this does not happen. This is like an extension of an analogy. So analogy actually ends there. You can't extend the analogy. Like Shamanantaru mentioned this point that analogy is like a thing which you purchased in a chore bazaar. Like where the stolen goods are sold. That when you purchase something in a chore bazaar where stolen goods are sold, so there actually the that particular thing will be working, and once you come out of the bazaar, it will not be working. So similarly, like analogy is actually meant for that particular purpose. When you extend the analogy, it actually doesn't work. So Jiva Goswami is mentioning this point in the purport to that particular verse, that the analogy stops there, that only you cannot extend the analogy and say that after practicing devotional service for some time, one becomes detached from the path of devotional service itself. No, that does not happen. So that is why in that verse, Krishna says that pratyaksha vagamam dharmyam susukam kartum avyayam. Avyayam means devotional service is actually eternal. So eternal, that means in the case of Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga, after realizing Paramatma, etc., then the person actually gives up the process of Jnana and Yoga. But in the case of devotional service, this has not happened. A person continues to practice devotional service even after liberation. So then I will end with the last point. And another point which Prabhupada mentioned, Krishna mentioned, is Susukam. Susukam means it is actually easily performed. Bhakti Yoga is actually easily performed. So there is a very beautiful verse in the 7th canto where Prahlad Maharaj is actually giving instruction to his classmates. So there, this particular verse is quoted by Vishnu Chakravarti to show that how Bhakti Yoga is actually easily performed. Prahlad Maharaj says, Nahi achyutam prina yato bhak ayasu asuratmaja atmavad sarva bhutanam siddhatvad iha sarvataha. Prahlad Maharaj says that, O sons of the asuras, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually dear to every living entity, and he is situated as the super soul in the heart of every living entity. And it is very easy to please the Supreme Lord. It is very easy to worship the Supreme Lord in all circumstances. The relationship between the Supreme Lord and the Jiva is always a fact, and therefore there is no difficulty in pleasing the Supreme Lord. So we see, Vishnu Chakravarti writes in the purport that in the case of a family, one has to undergo so much of trouble to please the family member. Or in the case of a boss or any member in the family or this thing, one has to undergo so much of trouble to please a family member. And even after undergoing so much of trouble, one may not end up pleasing the family member. Or one may please the family member only temporarily. But on the other hand, to please the Supreme Lord, there is no need to undergo such great trouble. Because Supreme Lord is very easily pleased. And there is no need to search out the Supreme Lord anywhere, because the Supreme Lord is situated as a super soul in everyone's heart. And then finally he says that one can please the Supreme Lord at all times, in all circumstances, and in all respects, and even by performing manasa seva, or even by rendering service in one's mind, or by following any one of the 9 processes, or just by desiring to perform such service. But this is not possible in the case of a family member or friend, oh, I just desire to do this. But when you actually do that, then you may actually end up pleasing temporarily. But in the case of the Supreme Lord, it is so easy to please the Supreme Lord. Even by desiring to render service, one can actually please the Supreme Lord. So there is no such pain involved in performing bhakti. So in this way we see, so that is why it is mentioned that, so the path of bhakti is actually joyful. On the other hand, the path of jnana, philosophical speculation without surrendering the Supreme Lord, it is very troublesome. On the other hand, it is said in the first canto, Ato vai kavayo nityam bhaktim paramaya muda vasudeve bhagavati kurvanti atma prasadanim. The great sages, since time immemorial, they have been performing this, they are practicing this path of bhakti with great pleasure. And that path of bhakti gives pleasure to the mind. So Vishnu Chakravarti says that even in the stage of sadhana, one can practice bhakti with great joy. But in the case of other processes, even during the, when a person is practicing the process, it is troublesome. At the end, one doesn't gain anything. But in the case of bhakti, even during the course of sadhana, one can actually practice with pleasure. And also at the end, one will actually gain the supreme perfection. So I'll stop here. To summarize, we talked about the conditions in which Srila Prabhupada has written these purports. We try to compared Srila Prabhupada with Dhritarasura, and then we talked about the nature of Srila Prabhupada's books, and then I was trying to talk about like Lord Brahma and Haridas Thakur, how when Lord Brahma realized the greatness of the Supreme Lord and realizing one's own insignificance, how he exhibited humility when he appeared as Haridas Thakur. And finally, we try to compare the path of devotional service with the other processes according to this particular verse. I will not take any questions in the mic. Grantharan Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.